Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. Team USA did it, and for just the second time in history, has won a knockout round game at the World Cup. They beat Bosnia and Herzegovina 2-0 to advance to the round of 16. Malik Tillman and Fuller and Balogun scored for the U.S. Balogun was given a red card, though, in the 64th minute and will miss the next game against Belgium. That's Monday night at 8 in Seattle. It looks like cooler heads have prevailed for now as the Columbus Blue Jackets and defenseman Zach Werenski released a statement yesterday saying that Zach is comfortable returning to the team and the trade talks are on hold. The CBJ made a couple of moves on the first day of free agency yesterday, signing forward Ryan Lomberg and goaltender Phoenix Copley. Longtime captain Boone Jenner is moving on. He signed a 4-year deal with the Washington Capitals. The Boston Celtics have traded forward Jaylen Brown to the Philadelphia 76ers for Paul George and multiple draft picks.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Bake is here. Isaiah is here. We are loaded up. My old buddy, Frankie Haydick, former U.S. national team member, will join us coming up at 9:30, reflecting on a thrilling win for Team USA yesterday in the World Cup. We'll open up the mailbag coming up at 10 o'clock. Paul Feinbaum, fresh off yet another accolade, Lifetime Achievement Award at the Barrett Conference. He will join us at 10:30. 11 o'clock, what we learned this week, and of course, Doug Lamorese coming up at 11:30. But we do begin with a pretty communal thing that has happened. I know Bake's not on board with it, but there aren't many things in today's life that would garner the attention of my entire family at once, all engaged at once. There just aren't. Like, we spend hours on car rides across these great United States all summer long to lacrosse events, and there's very few things that demand everybody on the same conversation piece. Most of the time, they're chasing screens or they're chasing their own dialogue, and that's the way that it goes. And the same things here at home. They watch the things that they want to watch. This is an on-demand society we're raising these kids in, and when they have the feeling of wanting to watch something, they simply go and watch it. Yesterday, however, and about the only other thing that this applies to is probably Ohio State football in the NFL, we sat down at 8 o'clock and didn't move for over 2 hours and watched a soccer game. And they were locked in the whole time, other than a few VAR stare down at your phone for 2 minutes. Well, it took them time to go through some VAR calls, one of which they got wrong, which we'll get into in just a second. But we did. And it is one of the things that are, there are a couple of things that are still pretty magical about these, the world that we live in now. And one of them is the patriotism combined with sport. And I saw this in the hockey in February in the Olympics, and I saw it last night, and I've seen it over the last month with this World Cup. And as this United States team continues to survive and advance, or thrive and advance, however you want to frame it, you see this more and more. And football does this. Buckeye football does this. NFL does this on a Sunday. We'll all sit down and watch for the 1 o'clock games, or if there's a big night game, we'll all sit and watch it. But that's about it. There aren't very many things in sport, in pop culture, and in entertainment that demands the attention of my entire family. And this did. This did. And my guess is it did for a lot of you out there as well. You were probably similar circumstances where you were either at a bar or a gathering spot or in your basement living room like I was and watching it. And it was spectacular. This is fun. This is a really fun team to watch play. I am not a diehard soccer fan by any means, though I did host Crew Extra for 2 years. So I guess it gives me a little bit of a cachet there. So I'm not, though. I didn't watch the lead up to this, didn't watch the build up to this. I've watched this United States team in this World Cup. I usually watch the U.S. teams in the World Cup dating back to 1994. This is the most fun Team USA we've ever had. I think I can say that emphatically. They are attacking. They are borderline arrogant. They are fun. They are getting downhill, and they have a spirit about them that is unlike any other Team USA team that I've seen. A fearlessness almost. And it's 2-0. They lose Balogun with 30 minutes to go in this thing on a ridiculous replay, of a VAR on a red card. He'll miss the next game as well. And they didn't just sit and kind of camp it in. They kind of kept attacking and then had with Tillman in the 82nd minute, one of the coolest free kicks you've ever seen for a goal to kind of ice it. It was about as good as could be, and they delivered on every possible level. Will they do it again against Belgium when they play on the 6th? Who knows? Will there be some sort of an appeal for Balogun to get the red card removed? There's differing opinion if that's even possible, but certainly it doesn't appear likely. But for one given night on a first Friday on July 1st, 3 days short of a 250th birthday of America, this thing checked every damn box. And, Bake, I know you didn't watch any of it, but if you would have, I promise you it would have delivered.
I'm sure it would have. And you're seeing history here with Team USA, I believe. Brother Bone this morning called in from New York, and I think he said this is the first time ever in the World Cup that Team USA has won 3 games. It's only the second time ever they've won a knockout round game.
Yeah.
So you are going into uncharted waters here with Team USA in this tournament. And as we know, that's not this isn't for me, but that's pretty cool. When you're having historic moments like that.
And it feels like hay in the barn now. They won this game last night, and then obviously you get the red card, and so Balogun's out for the next game unless there's an appeal, which everything that I've read makes it look like that's probably not going to happen, which is super unfortunate because he has been, if not the best player for Team USA throughout the past couple of games, he's one of the best players on our team, so that hurts big time. But now it feels like hay in the barn. They did everything that I thought was possible, and now going into the next game, if they win, amazing. If not, it's been a great World Cup already for USA.
I'm going to push back for just a little bit. I think they're better than Belgium. I know Belgium's a top 10 team. I think if Balogun plays, I think they're better than Belgium. Now, Bake, did you see the red card in question here? So, if for those of you who did not see this, nothing was called in the field of play. There's a jostling for the ball between Balogun and a guy from Bosnia Herzegovina, and the guy from, they both go down in kind of a heap. They're both kind of fighting for the ball, and in ultra slow motion with freeze frame, you see that Balogun's right foot kind of slides down the calf of the Bosnian player and then kind of gets stuck around his ankle, and the pressure of all of it leads to a twisted ankle. The guy ended up playing the rest of the game, so this wasn't a dislocated ankle. There's not a person on the planet who would claim that there was any intent with this. None. This was a jostling for the ball. There was no penalty called in the run of play. They stop it because the guy stays down, and then they call VAR over, and in super slow-mo, they freeze frame it, and you see, and you can see the clip now, and there's been the messy one that's been put up against it, which is, quite honestly, far more egregious. But you see this still image of Balogun's foot on this guy's ankle, and you go, okay, clear intent. Like he's trying to hurt him. In real time, it is abundantly clear by anybody who's ever played sport in their life that these are just two athletes jostling for the same ball, and sometimes bad things happen clearly by happenstance, and that's all that this was. I find it absolutely absurd that this was the intent. I find it impossible that this was the intent of VAR being put into the FIFA World Cup to begin with. I do not think that this was the intent of VAR being put in this thing. And I find it absurd that there's not a simple appeal process to this to say, let's apply some common sense now to this.
So I did see this morning, and as I was looking up videos to try to get the exact pronunciation of Fuller and Balogun's name, so I did see what happened in all of that, and the commentator, and I don't know who it was for Fox that was like the analyst on there, but he was talking about it, and he said, this guy comes from the side. There's no way he even saw him until the guy was right in front of him. He said, I could see them giving him a yellow card, but there's no way that's a red card. But you get those. It's kind of like in football. It's real easy to pick on the referees and say they miss things when you can slow things down to the millisecond.
Yeah.
And look at it frame by frame. This is all happening in real time. When you slow that down, it looks awful. Because the way his ankle goes, it looks terrible. But when you play it at real time in the speed, it doesn't look like there's anything there.
It's unfortunate, too, because obviously now he's out the next game. And so, like Bo said, not having if there is no appeal process for him to be able to play in the following game, it's super unfortunate for the United States. Big time loss going into the next game. And that's the worst part of it. It is what it is against Bosnia. But going against Belgium, like, we need him. So that's going to be really difficult.
It's a simple fix. Like, we screwed up. It's too severe. Take away the red card. Give him a yellow retroactively. And, you know, ipso facto donezo. That's it. I mean, this isn't hard to do. You clearly got it wrong. It was clearly far too harsh of a punishment for this stage of the tournament, for any stage of the tournament. There was no intent for any of it to be malicious. And this is a run-of-the-mill play. And it's the same thing. God, I hate it in football, too, when they do this. When they go frame by frame. That's not the sport. The sport is not frame by frame. Instant replay, VAR, all of it. It is done to check for obvious mistakes that are made. It is not done for the minutia. This was a minutia play. It happened in a split second with zero intent of harm or malice intended. None. They got twisted up. Make it right, move on. My hunch is they won't because it's FIFA and that's how things go, but they should. And apparently they're able to appeal it. The thinking is, though, that the VAR is already a form of appeal, and so appeal of an appeal essentially will not get them anywhere. It does not take away from the accomplishment last night. It does not take away from the magic of them singing Country Roads at the end of every one of these. I think it's amazing that a John Denver song that's 50 or 60 years old about written by a guy writing about Maryland and somehow was about West Virginia has turned into this ballad that everybody sings. That's all magical. But this is what happens, man. It's what happens when patriotism and sport mix. It's pretty damn undefeated, no matter the sport. I don't know what to make of what happened yesterday in Blue Jackets world. We're going to get to that coming up next. We're going to have much more on Team USA coming up at 9:30 with Frankie Hayduk. We'll try to make sense of yesterday in CBJ land coming up next. We're off and running on a Thursday. Bishop and Friends right here on the fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Remember the old days when football used to have an off-season? Well, we at the Fan think that really sucked. That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, is voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated. Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments, as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays, and they come right to your house and massage your tender areas. Ooh. They'll do it all. Austin and Berm on the Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV Plus.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube. Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Thedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Warm and muggy to start and sunny and hot this afternoon with highs in the upper 90s and feels like well into the triple digits. For tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows in the 70s, and then for Friday, we close out the work week with sunny skies and very, very hot temperatures in the 90s with feels like climbing into the triple digits. So keep those ways to stay cool. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan, taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, here's the statement from Zach Werenski. The Jackets put it out yesterday afternoon. It came kind of out of nowhere, quite honestly. Quote, Don and I have had a very open and honest dialogue since the season ended. Ideally, this wouldn't have become such a public thing, but that is the world we live in now, and everything got blown out of proportion, in my opinion. I want to win, and I want to do that in Columbus. As I've thought about things and discussed everything with my wife and family, we want to be in Columbus. It has been my home for the past 10 years. I've been proud to be a Blue Jacket. We have the best fans in the NHL. I love my teammates and coaches. Looking forward to doing everything I can to get us back in the playoffs to compete for a Stanley Cup. Don and I are completely aligned on that and excited about what's to come with our team. Aaron Portsline was on Morning Juice this morning, our old buddy. They asked him how we got here. Here was Porty's answer.
So I think this thing got out of control on him. I think it's a hard thing for him to explain. I think it's going to be a hard thing for him to explain that there's even a conversation, right, with 2 years left about the future. He can be extended next year at this time. They can't extend him right now. But if they're at this point next year and he says, I'm a little uneasy about the future, I'm not sure what I'm doing, I want to see some stuff here before I decide to resign, you're perfect. Like that's what... That's the time to have that conversation, because now you can't extend. The fact that it's 2 years out, my sense is that he made it clear that he wants to see more here before he commits long term. And I think it's possible he and his agent were not on the same page in terms of the urgency of that message. Did that mean let's get going now? Or did that mean, like, I love it here, blah, 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 but I have to see something if I'm going to stay? Which I think most fans, the latter one, most fans would be like, perfectly fine, perfectly fine. They're all in the same boat. Let's get going here.
I had several folks text me about this. So, wait, what? Zach's staying. Now he's staying? And my response to all of them was, I think the real truth is Zach wanted out. He wanted it out quietly. It, in today's day and age, it's impossible for it to stay quietly. And the noise around it became something that he quite honestly wasn't up for. That's the only way that I can read it at this point. I think this is going to be a very interesting year for them. I think Porty's right on Juice this morning where he says, you know, a year from now, okay, fine. And I think most fans would say, yeah, put pressure on the organization to build a better team, to make it to the playoffs next year, to build something that resembles a cup contender. And there need to be major, major steps towards that going forward. But I don't know how else to read it other than that, Bake.
I agree. And I just want to, one thing that you said, I don't know if Zach wanted out. I don't know if Zach went to them and said, I want to be traded. But I do think Zach probably said he wasn't sure if he's going to re-sign here, something like that. And if you don't have a guarantee that Zach wants to be here long term or will re-sign, it's asset management in sports. And you could get more for Zach Werenski now than ever if he's going to work with you on his no trade clause. He was traded to the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, that's right. He was.
The deal was in place and he said no.
Yeah.
Now, whether he said, I'd rather be in Columbus than Dallas, or he didn't want to be in Dallas long term, who knows?
Or if that was out of spite.
Correct. And I believe that Zach Werenski doesn't want to be the villain in this.
Yes.
I believe that wholeheartedly. There's a press conference today with Don Waddell at noon. Mm-hmm. And the first question should be, so does this mean Zach is signing a contract extension 1 year from now when he's eligible to? And if that answer isn't 100% yes, this isn't over. I don't know how you play this year. I don't know how you can have this looming over your franchise this year. That's not good for anyone.
But I think going into the season, that should have been there anyway. Like, if you don't turn this thing around and get into the playoffs, I had no question that Werenski at this point, why would he want to stay? If we come back a third season in a row, like at that point, the pressure already feels like it's mounted. There was some pressure on this past season that we didn't live up to. Coming into this year, I felt like pressure should be wholeheartedly on because now we're getting closer to the end of the contract with Werenski. And then my other thought is there a chance that Zach just didn't like the places that were offering them trades to the Blue Jackets? Is there a chance that maybe he didn't want to go to Dallas? Maybe there were a couple other options and him and Don sat down and he said, this is what we can do. Does that sound good to you? And he said, these aren't the ones I want to go to. Maybe I do want to stay here for another season.
I think he demanded a trade. I think his agent asked for a trade. And I think that they wanted it. That's my read of it. And maybe I'm dead wrong. I'm wrong a lot. It happens. I just think you don't get to the point where you don't go from, I'm not sure if I'll sign an extension next summer, to consummating a deal with Dallas and having reports of him wanting to play in Tampa and Toronto. You don't get to that from the people who are reporting it on, I'm not sure if I'm going to sign an extension next year. You get there if your best player says, Norris Winner says, I want to be moved. That's how you get there. Any manager, any general manager, any coach, if an athlete as good as Zach, as critical as he is to the team, comes up to you and says, I'm not sure if I'm going to sign an extension next year, if that was the way that conversation took place, you say, well, let me see what I can build around you. Why don't you call Dylan Larkin and convince him to come down here if we can put a package together? That's what you do if you're a general manager. So I don't think it was that. I think it was, I want to be traded, and I think you hit it. I don't think he wanted to be the bad guy around town, and I get that too. He's been here 10 years, for God's sakes. I don't blame him for wanting out. They haven't won enough in 6 years. They're trending. I get all of it. I get holding feet to the fire, all of it. I get demanding a trade. I understand it. I'm not for it, but I understand why he would do it. But I'm not going to sit here and act like there was miscommunication between agent and all of it, this whole blown out of proportion stuff. No, I don't believe that it was. I believe he asked for a trade. Don Waddell said, well, if we're going to trade him, now's the time. He just won the Norris. We can get a pretty good return back for him. They were obviously happy with the return in the trade for Dallas that he nixed. And he said, well, these are the places I want to go to. And then it gets a little complicated because those teams can't get back the what you want for Werenski. So that's my read of it. Maybe I'm dead wrong on it. And I guess there's no way to ever prove if I am or not unless somebody writes the book when this whole thing is done. You get true candid talk from everybody on it. But I don't think that there's any way that this was, I'm not sure if I'm going to sign an extension next year, and then Don Waddell went hunting for deals for Zach. I don't think that's it at all. I don't think Don would do that. I think he would say, let me prove to you we're headed in the right direction. We've gotten more points every year, and we're heading in the right direction.
And the crazy thing with what you just talked about, like, if this is the case, like, Zach's like, I want to win. They're sure not acting like a team that wants to win right now.
No.
You know who is? Nashville. You know who is? San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know who is? The Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
The Columbus Blue Jackets so far in free agency have signed two minor leaguers, a fourth line winger, and a backup journeyman goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't made any trades. Nashville's made a ton of trades. There are teams out there that have gotten better while the Blue Jackets have just... Now, I don't know if maybe they were preoccupied with this Zach Werenski stuff, but if you're trying to get this guy to stay, if this is all the case, it sure doesn't look like you're operating that way. Now, there's still time. There could be moves coming. But the Columbus Blue Jackets aren't a better team right now than they were at the end of last season.
No. No. I mean, you don't buy that, do you? He clearly asked for the trade.
100%.
There's no way he did it. I don't know if he came out straight up and asked for a trade, but I think he probably did say, I'm not signing here.
Like, there's no way that there was miscommunication between him and his agent. Like, I don't believe that whatsoever. Because this is like code red. There's no way that just code red just slips out of nowhere. And, all of a sudden, I mean, if it is true, then Zach should be really upset with his agent.
If the agent's not fired, then obviously there was no miscommunication.
And we've talked about this. Boone Jenner's moving on. The Blue Jackets will have a new captain. If it's not this year, it'll be in the coming years. And I heard Dylan Tyre, who works for the Blue Jackets, I get it, say, Zach Werenski is one of the guys you put the C on.
No.
You do not put a C on that guy after this.
No.
Absolutely
chance.
Not.
No. It goes on Adam Fantilli. And you say it's your team, go. That's what I do. I would do that. I'd put it on his chest and say it's your team, go. And in the meantime, if Zach is serious about being here, you have him call Dylan Larkin. You say, well, what does it take to acquire him? And you try to bring him here. That's the steps of this. But I don't buy anything that happened yesterday. I think he demanded a trade. He didn't like how ugly it got. And now he's trying to save face a little bit. And again, I understand all of it. I understand his perspective on all of it. Totally. But at the same time, if you're going to want those things, if you're going to ask for those things, then the consequences are locally. They're going to be there. You mentioned Boone Jenner. He's to Washington. Did I see that?
Yes. A big deal. I was shocked by that deal.
At the size of the deal. Yeah. So, and we'll have more on that coming up at 9:48. All right. Coming up next, former U.S. men's national team legend, former crew legend, one of the great dudes of all time, Frankie Hadick, going to join us on the U.S. men's national team advancing in the knockout round to the round of 16. That's coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
All right, here's what's up on a Thursday edition of the program. The U.S. men's national team on in the knockout phase to the round of 16. They will play Belgium. A man who knows a little bit about not only the U.S. men's national team, but soccer, and quite honestly, just one of the all-around best guys you're ever going to find. It's been too damn long, Frankie Hadick. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, what's up, bro? I was just going to say the same thing to you, man. I was like, way too long we haven't talked. What's going on, dude?
Well, I tell you what, your sport's going on, buddy. I'd led this the show today. There aren't many things. I've got three boys, 14, 12, and 10. There aren't many things that we do as a family that we completely congregate and lock in on, outside from like maybe family dinner. Last night was another one of those nights. This U.S. men's national team has this country by the throat. If you go back to the beginning of this cup run, buddy, did you see this level of play coming from this team?
Heck no, dude. No way. I don't think anyone could have. You know, the games kind of leading up to this, even like 10 games before, we were all kind of, you didn't know who was going to play. You didn't know who was starting. You didn't know if there was a starting 11. It was like, whoa, I didn't know right before what they were going to do. And then all of a sudden, I think Pochettino, he had a plan, and that's why he's such a great coach, and that's why he's going to all these great clubs. Hey, I'm going to kind of lure U.S. to sleep, and then I'm going to come out firing at the cup. And that's what these boys have done, dude. It's been so rad to watch the camaraderie and the all the guys just battling for each other and grabbing each other's shirts. And whenever one situation comes up, the whole team's there. And man, I love it, dude. And like you just said, I would have never predicted it, but I'm loving what I'm seeing, and I'm loving this team, and I'm loving the attitude.
Frankie, the fearlessness.
Dude. These guys are playing with, like, oh my God, they're playing the best soccer that U.S. soccer has ever played. You know, I was in the 2002 World Cup back then. You saw, we made the quarterfinals as well back then and lost to Germany 1-0. So, but man, when we play, it was drop and counter. We knew the teams were going to possess the ball. We knew it was drop and counter through Landon and Beasley and McBride. Dude, these guys are playing beautiful soccer, and they're flying forward, and they're aggressive, and they're relentless. I love it.
They,
man,
are.
Like, oh, it's relentless. I could have never predicted this. I swear. I'm a number one U.S. fan. I love U.S. soccer. Dude, I was scared a little bit before the cup, and what I'm seeing from these guys is just, it's not really a surprise, but I think the coach had a different tactic than everyone, and that's why this guy's so great.
tongue to the great Frankie Hayduk, U.S. men's national team legend, two World Cup teams in 02 and 06, and of course, a crew legend and one of our all-time favorites around here. You mentioned that attacking attitude that they had, and I think you hit it, buddy. I do think that there was that a lot of us, and I was among them, we were talking in the lead up to the World Cup. I'm like, man, how have we not changed like what our objective is in 30 years since 94? Like, get to the knockout stage, and then, you know, that's kind of the end of the road on this. But that's not what this team has played like. They have played with a relentlessness and attack, and I want to ask you about the Balogun red card in just a second. But before we get to that, they play the last 30 minutes 10 men down, Frankie. They didn't park the bus. They kept going, even with 10 men down, with a man down. It was such a fearless approach in the last 30 minutes, such a gutsy approach in the last 30 minutes yesterday. What did you make of that tactic?
I just think that they didn't even know they were playing a man down, and they didn't even care if they were playing. If they were even playing two men down, they wouldn't have cared. They would have been doing the same thing. It's like what you said. It's relentless. They're going. They're nonstop. These guys are as fit as can be too, because I can see how they're running and how the pressure. It's not easy to pressure for 90 minutes, man. And you know, with some of the heat stuff going on and around, man, these guys, they don't care about anything, and they're not intimidated by anyone. They're not intimidated by the big names. And they're just battling for each other. This is what U.S. is all about, and I love it, man. I'm literally loving every minute of it. And just like you said, it's been a family time thing, dude. We got all the kids are face painting themselves, and I'm seeing it kind of go a little bit more and more around the town. So it's like, oh my god, it's so fun to watch.
All right, let's talk about the red card. You obviously played in World Cup before there was VAR. In real time, there's not even a foul called on this play yesterday with Balogun. It's not called. The players stay down, and then that allows VAR to intervene. Now, I certainly don't know the sport like you. I see no ill intent. It seems like two guys just got kind of messed up, and then it happened. And then if you freeze frame it, it looks bad. I will acknowledge that. It looks bad. What did you make of it in real time? What did you make of the VR making it a red card, and what do you think will happen now, if anything?
Well, I mean, I thought in real time, no way, dude. I love kicking people, so that's part of it, is getting your leg. And typically, a forward will try to put the leg in front of the other defender's leg so he can kind of get the position right. So he was trying to throw his leg in front of him, and it was a millisecond off where they both kind of hit it at the same time, and then that's where it would look bad. But dude, a real time, never a foul. VAR, once they see it, you said it, dude. I could see how they could call it. The guy's ankle looked like it went in half, but no malintent whatsoever. He, as a forward, was just trying to put his body in front of the defender, and you kind of throw your leg out. And dude, honestly, I could see how they called it, but I can see if they appeal it, it should not be a red card. But I don't even know if they can appeal it. I don't know the rules till we're there, though, I'll be honest.
And nobody does.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, FIFA rules, it's a whole different thing. They're kind of making them up on the go. Because even like you said with VAR, I watch some VAR calls and like, oh, that's not even a foul. That's not, and the next thing I know, just it's a red card. And you're like, wait, what?
Right.
Well, the next thing, guys, offside, not offside. And so they don't really have it totally down either, which is, that's the weird thing to me. I'm like, dude, you got to have some guys in there that totally know, and I'm sure they do, but there's been number of fouls called in VAR situations that I've watched and be like, and they said the opposite. And I'm like, what goes here?
Well, Frankie, and then there's that freeze frame of Messi doing similar. That isn't a, that I know you've seen, that isn't a call at all. That's not a card at all. Everything I've read on it this morning, buddy, has been like, well, they can appeal it, but essentially the VAR from yesterday was the appeal of what happened. It'll be almost impossible. It's not going to be overturned, which I think is shameful. If that doesn't happen, I mean, he's been our talisman. He's been our best player up front. What does Team USA, how do they counter? How do they throw a team against Belgium without the guy who's been their best scoring threat throughout this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of right. It's been, you know, it's pretty much, he's been our Messi, if you want. You know, he's been like that. Yeah, it's going to be, for one, it'll be a shame for him not to play. I mean, this guy, he's going to score again and again and again. He's feeling it.
So if they do leave him out, man, you'll probably have Pepe up top. And from what we've seen, guys, it doesn't matter who you're putting in right now. You know, you're plugging people in and the game isn't changing much. You know, like, and I know we had a lot of people against that Turkey game when we lost that game when we made a bunch of changes, but it wasn't these guys. They know what they're doing. They got the system, and I think they're ready for it. I think Belgium's going to be a little bit overconfident, right? Because we just played them a month ago and they beat us 5-1.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh my God, cool. We're in the, but they're an older team. I mean, they're having to get Lukaku up there, and Lukaku's scoring some goals, and they got De Bruyne, a great player, but they're a little bit of an aged team, and we're a bunch of youngsters, dude. We're a bunch of firecrackers, dude. We're ready to firecrack it, dude. It's like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see this game, dude. And I honestly think as well, I keep on saying this, but I think Pochettino put the team out. He might have known they were going to play Belgium at one point. You know what I mean? So, and that's how much of a tactician I really believe he is. And the boys are believing in him and they're doing what he says and it's working, dude. He's making all the right subs. I don't think, you know, obviously if you lose your number one goal scorer, it's going to make a big difference, but I think they'll be ready to go, dude.
Frankie, I'll get you out of here on this one. What did it do to you emotionally to see Pochettino singing Country Roads at the end of that game yesterday?
So beautiful, dude. So beautiful, dude. I was right there with him, just loving every minute of it, loving every American singing it, just loving it, dude. I was laughing so hard, but singing it at the same time. All my kids know the song, and we're just the whole family singing it, and it's fun, dude. It's cool. I love it. And, dude, this guy he's grabbed the Americans' hearts a little bit, dude. You know, an Argentinian guy that's tough and has you know credit everywhere. And man, he's grabbing us our hearts. He's grabbed my heart already. I'm like, dang, dude, you threw out a team like that, and this is what we're playing. Oh my God, this is beautiful. This is unbelievable. What a team, dude.
That's awesome.
And that's what happened. 4 years of trying to find people and pick the right guys and. You know what? As of now, he has picked the right squad. You know, only 24 players can make it or whatever it is. And that's hard to do with such a big country. But he's got these guys going, dude. He picked the right squad. He picked the right guys. You can tell they're a team and they love each other. And that's all that matters. Guys that love each other will battle for each other through thick and thin. And you can see that this team's doing it, dude. It's rad.
Buddy, I love you. It's been way too long. We won't wait as long the next time. I'd love to keep having you on as we continue in the World Cup. Thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Yeah, bro. Good seeing you guys again. Here we go. So USA! We're doing it, dude. Monday. Let's go.
The great Frankie Hayduk joining us on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Crew captain, of course, U.S. men's national team and crew legend as well. And you can feel the enthusiasm, obviously, in his voice. But to be fair, he's that enthusiastic always. That's just how he chooses to live his life, which is a beautiful thing. We'll go around the sports world, reflect on the Boone Jenner news as well. That's all coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
With Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we're at Scioto for the U.S. Senior Open. We'll chat with PGA professional Stuart Sink, as well as Dave Shedlosky of Golf Digest.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick, Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Bo knows many people.
He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. When you've been around for a while, you learn a few things. Like to think I know a little bit about what we're doing right now. But when it comes to pests like ants and termites, no, not my thing. So I turn to my friends at Rose Pest Solutions. Over 165 years of experience, they've mastered their craft as the nation's oldest family-owned pest control company. The pros from Rose protect Columbus homes and businesses with expert pest prevention and treatment. Got a pest problem? Rose is a solution. Call 800-966-ROSE or visit rosepestsolutions.com. You think anyone saw like this Country Roads thing coming?
I don't know. It's kind of crazy because it's had two runs here because the West Virginia baseball team as they had their run in the College World Series, was doing that too and singing to their fans, and that was pretty cool. I mean, maybe you saw it because you saw Team USA with the hockey do Freebird, and that became a thing, so maybe. By the way, if you can't have a good time with Frankie Hayduke, you're the problem.
He's the best dude ever.
Like, he's like that all the time. That's not a bit. That's not an act. That's just him as a human.
I've known him 20 years, and he is the exact same now as he was 20 years ago. Nothing has changed with Frankie Hayduke. It just gulps life full of joy, all of it. I was curious about Country Roads. It was written, John Devon was one of the people who wrote it, obviously, and he sang it. Released it as a single in 1971, peaked as a number two on the Billboard U.S. Hot 100 chart in 1971. It ended up 1.8 million digital copies sold in the United States, one of his most popular songs, a symbol of West Virginia, also the United States as a whole. In March 2014, it became one of four official state anthems of West Virginia. In 98, the 71 was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. So I guess it really is about, so it's about a guy driving along. It's the way that it came about. The inspiration came, the two other people who wrote it were driving along Clopper Road in Montgomery County, Maryland, to a gathering of Nivert's family in Gaithersburg. I just started thinking Country Roads and started thinking of me growing up in Western New England, going all these small roads and have anything to do with Maryland or any place. So that's the way that it worked. It's probably the best sing-along song. I love when West Virginia does it at football games. After football games, that's unbelievable when they do it there. And it's just an easy song to know. And the chorus is fun to belt. So it's working.
I'm guessing it's about to sell a lot more digital copies.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's probably pretty popular going forward. We mentioned this earlier in the show. In the second segment, we talked a little bit about Zach and the turnaround of that. So there's a press conference at noon at Nationwide. Who's in that presser, Bake?
It's Tom Waddell.
Just Don?
Yep. At least that's what that's all we've seen from the Blue Jackets is Don Waddell at noon.
What do you expect that to be from a tone standpoint?
I expect it to be basically those PR statements. Now, Don is usually pretty honest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I just wonder what the questions are going to be, and I may try to hop on the Zoom, but I think you have to ask. The two questions that need to be asked are, so does this mean Zach is signing a contract extension 100% 1 year from now? And then did he demand a trade?
I think that your second question is more important than your first. Because the first one, does this mean Zach will sign a contract extension 100% a year from now? There's not a way for him to really answer that truthfully because he's only one half of the equation. So he could say, yeah, we believe that, but then there's a get out of jail free card.
Okay, what did Zach tell you he's going to then?
But even if he did, he can, you know, so, which I'm sure he didn't. So to me, the thing that I'm more interested in is, did Zach Werenski demand a trade? That's the one I want to know. Did he? And I believe he did. So that to me is the one that I want the real truth on, is that one. And then you think about playing a season under that type of pressure, that's tough. That's a very, very difficult spot. So we kind of brushed through this because we were dealing with all the U.S. men's national team and the Zach Werenski stuff, but Boone Jenner moving on. You were right about that. I thought potentially he would be back after they traded Zach. I did not get that right. You did. You thought that he'd be moving on. The term is a lot bigger than I think anybody thought. And so we lose a captain on that side and a guy who's been a Union Blue guy lifer.
Played the most games ever in a Blue Jacket sweater, and the longest tenured captain. I believe he's 1 year longer than Foligno at this point. And it's said that the Blue Jackets, the things you've heard is the Blue Jackets were comfortable giving him a 2 year contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's said that Boone was looking for five. He got four from the Washington Capitals. I know that the salary cap in the NHL was going up, but when I saw what Boone got, I mean, good for him. And I love Boone Jenner.
Yeah.
But Boone Jenner, in your most successful run in franchise history, was a fourth line winger and he was your fourth line center this past season when you were having your biggest run of success. Now, do I think Boone Jenner is a fourth line player? Probably not. He's probably a third line player.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see giving all that money. And I guess the Blue Jackets have done that with Coyle, although I think Coyle's more like a second line player for the Blue Jackets, and Connor Garland. But for Boone Jenner to almost get $6 million a year, I was shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Other moves around the league, Sergei Bobrovsky ends up in Toronto. So Bob will head, the top cop will finally go to the place where the top cop was originally started, up in Toronto, for the Maple Leafs. And then the shocking NBA trade. Jaylen Brown was dealt to the Sixers of all teams, who are a divisional rival of the Celtics, for Paul George and two first round picks in 28 and 31. I don't understand this.
It makes absolutely no sense for where the Celtics are at.
So what are they thinking?
I think that after the Giannis deal, where Jaylen was kind of dangled out there as wanting to be traded for Giannis, and they even reports have come out now that Jaylen Brown did not ask for a trade post this past season, I think that they thought maybe they wouldn't be able to get the chemistry back after dangling him out there in the Giannis trade, and they kind of freaked out. That's the only thing that can come to the realization of is that they decided, you know what, we tried to trade him for Giannis, maybe we can't keep the locker room together, and we're going to have to make a move for Jaylen. But this trade for where the Celtics roster is at makes absolutely no sense. Because even the past two seasons where they haven't been able to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, they've had one of the best rosters in the East for the past 5 years with Jaylen and Jason. And so I can't believe they're moving him.
Wouldn't the Cavs have been able to put a much better package together for him?
Absolutely. Paul George is still a good player in the NBA, but much past his prime. 36
years old, though, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, 36 years old. And even the two first-round picks, in my mind, when you move...
Who cares?
Yeah, when you move Jaylen Brown to the 76ers with Vijay Edgecombe, Tyrese Maxey, and Embiid still there, like, they are not going to be picking in the lottery.
Didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it the 76ers that knocked the Celtics out this past year?
Yes.
And you're going to help them?
It was so strange. It was one of the most stupefying NBA deals. I don't follow that league, you know, the way I do the NFL or college football. So it just seemed so against type and character for Boston to do a deal like that, where they sold him at the peak of his powers for 10 cents on the dollar.
He was getting MVP votes this past season.
Wasn't he first team All-NBA?
He was first team All-NBA. Just came off his best year.
They traded a first team All-NBA guy for a bucket of balls? Wild. Absolutely wild. Second hour of the program coming up next. Paul Feinbaum coming up at 10:30. We kick it off with the mailbag. Bishop and Friends right here on the Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. Team USA knocked off Bosnia-Herzegovina 2-0 last night, so they advanced to the round of 16. Malik Tillman with the penalty shot. Fuller and Balogun, he scored for the U.S. That gives him 3 in the World Cup, but he was given a red card in the 64th minute, so that means he will miss Monday's game against Belgium, that one at 8 p.m. in Seattle. It looks like cooler heads have prevailed for now. The CBJ and defenseman Zach Werenski released statements yesterday saying that Zach is comfortable returning to the team and trade talks are on hold. The CBJ did make some moves on the first day of free agency. They signed forward Ryan Lomberg and goaltender Phoenix Copley. Longtime captain Boone Jenner, though, is moving on. He signs a 4-year deal with the Washington Capitals. In a big trade in the NBA, the Boston Celtics send Jaylen Brown to the Philadelphia 76ers for Paul George and multiple first-round picks.
What's the weather outside? Who cares? Bakers and shorts. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Thursday edition of the program. Mr. Feinbaum coming up in 28 minutes from now. Time now, though, to open up that mailbag. Hit it, fellas.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in.
Bishop and Friends present Emails.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free sale. Visit windownation.com now.
All right, another good smattering of emails this week. We kick it off with Bob, who writes, I'm fully convinced the future of major college football is some kind of European soccer. Money talks, success walks. There will be a separation of the haves and have-nots. Conferences will be leagues, relegation will be part of it, and the lower levels will be left to collect the crumbs that fall. I also believe this is coming sooner than most think. I don't know if we'll ever get a true relegation, because I don't think you're ever going to see a situation where people who are members of the Big Ten or SEC are forced out of that cash cow. And I think that you would say to yourself, well, the most powerful teams in those conferences are going to make sure that they're not, that's not a problem. That's not going to affect the Buckeyes. Yeah, but you don't want that chance. You don't want it on the one year that you have an odd year, that 100 years of history and building tradition and brand and all of it all goes away because of one bad year, and you find yourself playing in the Big 12 for less money. So I don't know if you're going to get full relegation. I do think that a European soccer model, this is a couple years ago, there was a Super League that was attempted, and some of the biggest clubs in Europe were a part of it. And honestly, it took fan backlash for it to get kind of nipped in the bud, but it was headed this way. And I do think you're headed for a Super League. And I do think that the Big Ten and the SEC are going to kind of run this thing in the not-so-distant future, provided they can avoid some antitrust litigation, that they'll be able to do that. So I think you're going to get some sort of European football model with a Super League, but I don't think you're ever going to see full relegation, guys. It just, you can't be in a situation where if you're Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, USC, one of those ones that has equity, that has brands, that you're going to find yourself in a league making less money. They're not going to sign up for that, even if the chance is one in a million.
But we've talked on this program before about football breaking off from the rest of the NCAA and being its own entity, maybe even basketball. Would that be a situation where if football did that, there would be no conference affiliation for the schools, and then maybe you could have something like that? Like, hey, we've got 64 teams in this, but if there's so many years where you don't make this playoff, somebody else can jump in. That's the only way I could see it happening.
I just think your number's too big, Bake. I think it won't be 64. I think it'd be more like 48 at most.
And that's fair.
Or 36 even. I just think, like, I mean, if you play a game... We should do this when we do 20 most interesting. Like, if you, and maybe one of the categories is, would this program be invited to a Super League? Like, if you were to play the Super League game with no previous conference affiliation, how many Big Ten teams would you want in it? You certainly wouldn't want them all.
No. You're what? The top eight, maybe?
I mean, you definitely would not want Rutgers, Maryland, Purdue right away.
No.
I don't know if you'd want Minnesota.
But you want Wisconsin right now.
I know
now.
Wisconsin's on the edge. That's the first team I thought of that was on the edge, even though their past is good.
Would you want Nebraska right now?
I think you probably would still want those just because of passion. But I think you would drop. I think you'd probably drop. So the bottom teams, I mean, just from... I mean, you definitely would not want Rutgers, Purdue, Maryland, for sure. I don't know if you'd want Northwestern or Minnesota. You know,
you're Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, USC, Indiana right now.
Penn State.
Penn State, Iowa.
Michigan State.
Do you?
Yeah, probably, because you got to have somebody for other teams to beat. It can't just be, you know, the very best teams. I mean, even the NFL has bottom dwellers. So you have to have some bottom dwellers in there. To make
Washington, another
Washington.
One you probably add in.
Yeah, Washington's a good one.
Yeah, the irony of all of this is the four teams that you added, the four new teams that you added, all of them would get in.
And
Washington, USC, UCLA, and Oregon, which speaks to just how mismanaged the Pac-12 was, that somehow they blew that.
And the crazy thing is, we would have never put Indiana in this 3 years ago.
No,
God. We would have immediately said out. Kick him to the curb.
Not a chance.
Dude, they would have been my number one example. You know how I feel about Indiana. All right, this one from Tim.
Simple, I win.
I was looking for the other one for me.
I need to put that on my soundboard.
You got to get that on yours.
Yes.
This one from Tim. We had asked earlier about Miracle on Ice and kind of trying to put our head around how big of a deal that was. Tim was around. He writes, Bo, this is a reference to Miracle on Ice segment, and none of you have reference. I was 12 in 1980 and sure Gorbachev would bomb us. Reagan and him had pure hate for each other. Basically, my family tables and most of the public believed the winner of that game would win the Cold War. We did, and USSR surrendered the bombs. We know about that. True story. I think the timing on that is a little off, because I don't know that the Cold War ended in 1980, but that was certainly a part of it. Appreciate your perspective on that, for sure. And I can, as someone who was a child of the 80s, remember doing, like, I was fearful that we would be bombed by the Soviets. I mean, they made Red Dawn. Kids, I mean, that was made for a reason, because there was legitimate fear of that. Did you have that bake where you'd have to hide under? Do you remember that as a little kid? Like, you old enough to remember, like, hiding under your desk?
So I don't think we did that for, like, I mean, maybe they just sugarcoated it and said it wasn't for bombs, but I think we did, like, earthquake drills where you would get under your desk, and then you did the tornado drill where everybody went in the hall and sat with a book over their head like that was going to save us. Our textbook was going to save us from the building collapsing on us, but
somehow.
Hey, I think if what Tim says is true, and they gave up the bombs because of it, there's no way you can top it. That's the greatest. That's the greatest sports story, Team USA history.
I think tear down that wall from Reagan to Gorbachev came quite a bit later in the decade, but I could be pretty sure I'm right on that. This one from Gabe. The title is Werenski. The town is abuzz with business and the sky is falling, but in reality, we need to look at the facts. Z has been here since 2017. He has played for Torts, Lars, Babcock, sort of, Vincent, Evison, and now Bones. The longest tenure being Torts, which is also 3 or 4 years of making the playoffs. Otherwise, it's been a cluster with a change of direction, style, nonstop. Factor in a taste of the gold medal, and can we really blame Z? If anything, he is doing the team right by saying he probably won't re-sign. Does it suck? Yep. Does it sting? Yep. Can we really blame the guy? No. Keep up the great show, Jensen. Enjoy the fourth. I didn't blame him. I got it. Didn't have to like it, but I got it. I wasn't somebody who was like, I don't understand. Why would he not want to leave? And I think it's really important that you separate, I don't understand it, I don't understand why he wouldn't want to leave, from the city and from the fans. I mean, that's why I do the Will Hunting line. It's not your fault. When Zach demanded the trade, it's not your fault, it's not the fans' fault, it's not the city's fault, it's the organization's fault. They didn't win enough. That's it. It's just winning. It's just the winning. That's it. You mentioned, like, how aggressive Nashville's been, Bake. Like, you can do it in these markets. I'm not saying Columbus is as glamorous as Nashville, but we're not that much less glamorous than Raleigh, for God's sakes. Like, you can do it here. You just have to be a really good organization. You got to draft well, develop well, put a good team on the ice. That's it.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody would blame Zach Werenski for wanting out. I just think all the confusion in all of this is one of the major problems.
And I'm fine with him putting the feet to the fire. It's time. Like, at this point, for Werenski and where the Blue Jackets are at, I think he should be asking them to do more. Like, Bake said it in the last segment. What have we done this offseason? A whole lot of nothing so far. And I know we've been dealing with the Werenski rumors and what we've had to do with that, but at the end of the day, he should be asking for us to be making the playoffs. We're at the edge of him for the past three seasons. We need a little more.
Last one on this from Snags. The bulk of the messaging here. shouldn't the messaging from Zach be, hey, Zach, let's recruit Larkin to Columbus. He's a player that we could do nothing but make us a better team. He would lift our players. He'd make this franchise 100% better. Becomes a focus for our opponents. That means other players' opportunities to rise up. This is not hard math. Everyone is so scared about Zach wanting out. We don't know if he wants out. We know Larkin wants out of Detroit. So it's an opportunity to bring one of Zach's best friends to Columbus. Maybe Zach does want out. He just hasn't said it yet. But what if the CBJ, Don Waddell, whomever, says, hey, Zach, we want to go after Larkin. Any chance you can help convince him to add us the teams? We want others to see the city the way Johnny Hockey saw it. A golden opportunity to recruit. Maybe those... I believe Zach did ask for a trade. No matter what happens today, I just don't buy anything else. I don't think you go that far down the road without understanding that. I would think that they have probably talked to him about Larkin. I would think Dylan Larkin would be exactly what the Blue Jackets would be interested in. And I think they could probably put a package together that would be really attractive for Detroit. But I think Larkin's got 5 years left on his deal, does he not? And doesn't Stevie Y's basically like, yeah, I'm not moving you anywhere unless it's the right thing for the Red Wings. So, like, what would be the package for Larkin, Bake?
I don't think Jackets fans would like it. I think it starts with Fantilli. At least that's their first ask. Because yeah. I think Detroit's in a similar situation to the Blue Jackets, where I don't think they want picks and prospects. They want players that are going to help them now. So I don't think the Jackets would do that.
I think it'd be very difficult to get a deal done on that front. And then Larkin's in the same spot you are. So we'll see what Stevie Y has to say about all of that. Still more email to come, including, is Caitlin Clark a flopper? Oh, my goodness. We'll get to all of that. Paul Feinbaum in 16 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Man and Timmy.
This is what happens when you're married a certain amount of time. You do things out of spite.
I'm going to wear them harder and faster.
I am.
And thicker.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan, is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Warm and muggy to start, and sunny and hot this afternoon with highs in the upper 90s and feels like well into the triple digits. For tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows in the 70s, and then for Friday, we close out the work week with sunny skies and very, very hot temperatures in the 90s with feels like climbing into the triple digits, so keep those ways to stay cool. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are proudly brought to you and sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for nearly 8 decades. Wedding weekend's coming up here in a couple of weeks. Check them out. Easton Sawmill. They'll take care of you the way that they take care of us. I assure you of that. Back to the mailbag we go. We start with this one from Nicholas, who writes, "Hey guys, everyday listener. So with the sports drama with Caitlin Clark again this past week, I don't care. I will be the only one. Caitlin Clark is a flopper. How am I the only one that sees that? Go back and YouTube all her incidents from when an OSU fan ran into her, that time just a female fan made a D1 athlete spin like a top as if she was shot in an 80s action movie, or the incidents where she said she was pushed to the ground. Please, she was not hit hard enough to take it off her feet. Then the newest drama, the first clip, the woman puts her hand on Clark's throat. Okay, that looks a little rough, but you can't even tell how much weight she put on Caitlin's throat from that moment. The second clip where she falls down, you can't even see the contact. I like and root for Clark, but I will be the only one. I'm not buying it. The reaction to these incidents by big media people, too, is just funny to me. People act like there should be criminal charges. By the way, I thought fans cried the NBA is too soft. They play harder in the WNBA, and there's outcry. Get out of here." So this is Nicholas's email. This has been kind of a big story here over the last week or so. Some of this stuff with Clark. This is where the Sophie Cunningham, that's her name, right? Who did the GIF. She had that GIF that was last week. This all spun
where
from
where she's
this
pointing the finger.
Yeah. Which is one of the funniest GIFs of all time. The WNBA is in a pretty interesting spot because the financial situation that they are in currently is a direct result of the Caitlin Clark phenomenon in college basketball, which then transitioned to the NBA. It is. I mean, there's no other way to argue it, that if Caitlin Clark comes along financially, that those contracts are not rewritten, that collective bargaining agreement is not rewritten, the money that they're getting is not there. So they're in this weird spot of, for some of them it appears, being spiteful of the attention given to Clark, but without the attention given to Clark, none of them are in the spot that they're in. So from my vantage point, that's what it seems like to me. Maybe I'm off on it, but I would think that there would be, like there isn't any sport. I mean, hell, we were just talking about the Balogun red card versus the Messi no card. Like, you treat your stars differently. And quite honestly, it's bad business not to treat your stars differently. They should be given more than others because they're the ones that put food on everybody's table. I always felt this way with Tiger Woods. Like, where would you be without Tiger? Like, that was it. I did that a couple of years ago with Caitlin. I did the comparisons to that she wasn't Jordan or Kobe. She was Tiger. She was bigger than the sport. She delivered the audience to the sport. That's what happened.
I think two things can be true here, correct? Like, she can be a flopper, but she can also be guarded tougher and fouled more than any other player in the league as well. And sometimes these girls do mm-hmm. take it a little far. And it is kind of crazy because she hits so much hype. Like, she's helped these other women out tremendously. But they also don't love the fact that because she gets the hype, most people just think she's the best player. So there's probably some jealousy out there. They want to prove that wrong. Whatever the case is, she may flop, but she does get fouled a lot more than any other player, it seems like.
Yeah, I think you guys are both spot on. I think the jealousy is definitely a big part of it. And I think for Caitlin, too, her brand of basketball, like she's a talker. Like she gets after it on the court. She's not quiet. So some of it she does bring on herself. And then the jealousy part combined with she is arguably the best player in the WNBA. She's one of them for sure. And she's surely the one that's bringing in the most money. So it's the hard balance for the WNBA is trying to protect her while also trying to let her play by the rules everybody else does. But, I mean, she's different. She's the face of the league. She's above the league. She's 10 times bigger than the league. If you showed her a picture to 100 people, they would recognize that more than any other player in the league by far.
Combined.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, if she would have wanted to, she could have gone to, like, one of those other leagues and applied her trade there, and that league would have surpassed the WNBA.
Yes.
That was the spot that they were in. Justified or not, or however you feel about it or not, there was a moment in time where she captured the attention of the country in a way that nobody else had. This one from Peggy. Baker, remember we were talking about your favorite ball cap?
Yeah.
Peggy writes, your favorite hat stories triggered a memory for me of my dad who just passed away a few months ago. So sorry for your loss, Peggy. She writes, Dad played football at Lake Forest College. They won a D3 championship his freshman year. I was at Waukegan on business one year and drove up to Lake Forest to check out the campus. P.S. Very posh community. I stopped at the bookstore and bought a really nice Lake Forest ball cap for Dad. He loved it. Several years later, I took Dad back to Lake Forest for homecoming because his football team was being honored for their championship. After the parade and the game, there was a reception in the athletic director's suite. Everyone, including the college president, came up to my dad and asked him where he got his hat. It was that nice, and I guess the book score didn't have any more. Dad is gone now. I have the hat and many wonderful memories that go with it. That's awesome.
It's a great story.
That's awesome. I do love how lacrosse coaches college lacrosse coaches do this. It feels like they pick a new hat at the beginning of the year and then wear that hat the entire season for every practice, every game. By the time they get to, like, when you see, like, Notre Dame playing fill-in-the-blank in the national championship game, and you look at the hats, it looks like the hat has lived 17 lives yes. in 2 months.
It's one of those ones where it's sticky to the touch.
Stained. The whole inside just sweat stain on it.
Just total. I love when they do that.
Do you do that, Isaiah? Do you wear a hat during lacrosse? And it's the same one every time?
Yeah, whenever we get new team hats every year. So when we get the new team hats, then in with the old, out with the new.
And then that's it. That's the hat for the year.
Absolutely.
That's the hat for the year. I think I told the story. My favorite hat that was my go-to, I had like a Kelly Green Memorial Tournament hat that I had forever that popped, and that was a very sad day when that one popped. My favorite hats to wear now are Imperial makes a really perfect white golf hat, and so every time that I go to a new club or we play a new place, I always pick one up there. But they within, honestly, their life expectancy is like 3 months because they all stain. They all get sweat stains on them, and there's just no way on a white hat.
It's yellow at the end.
It's yellow. Yeah, and then there's no way out. It's stuck. There's no way to prevent it from happening. So those ones have the shortest. I have several. I had a buddy of mine who was a pro at Congressional, and so I have several like Congo white hats with just the Congo logo, which is a pretty damn cool logo. But they last like 6 months, and I wash the heck out of them, and they eventually all break.
Bo, speaking of that with the hats, and it's inevitable. Yeah. If you have a good hat and you wear it, you're going to sweat. It's eventually going to turn yellow. I have never understood why it was for the majority, like the first 20 years of my life or whatever, for the most part, that undergarments and socks were always white. That never made sense to me.
I agree.
Why did we have those things in white?
I have no idea.
The dirtiest parts of our body, and it's white.
I never understood that either. In fact, as soon as it became possible to get black underwear, done.
Same. Black socks, gray socks. What? I mean, why?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
I don't get it.
Last one from Alex. Hey, Bo, I look forward to your podcast drop daily. I am two exits south of Greg from Botkins, who's a loyal listener. One thing that you brought up a while back was the fact that you were ignorant about how student athletes could make it out on 3 years in high school. As a high school teacher, I want to clarify this so that you may understand a bit better. In Ohio, you only need 20 credits to graduate. Most schools offer 7 credits, possibly 8 per year, depending on class periods and a day and students' ability to take on more work. There are also many opportunities to take a summer gym, sports in lieu of phys ed, and summer electives that could help students speed up this process to graduate. At a minimum of 7 credits a year, this is roughly 28 credits over 4 years, or 21 in 3. So it's much easier than I realize. That the minimum level to graduate is much lower than I realize. Specifically, a student needs English language arts 4 credits, mathematics 4 credits, must include algebra 1 and geometry, science 3 credits, must include laboratory experiences like biology and physical sciences, social studies 3 credits, must include U.S. history, world history, and government, physical education 0.5 credit, health 0.5 credit, financial literacy 0.5 credit, electives 5 credits. Some districts or universities will offer ways for students to further complete credits at a college. There is a large rise in College Credit Plus at the high school level as well. One other group of students I saw used with high school in 3 years where I live was students that plan to take over the family farm. Well, no one in my grade did it. One of the students in the grade above me did that back then. There are additional criteria such as competency on state tests, but these are the time concerns. Very cool. Very, very cool. Also does a list. Let me see. Does she have this right? Yeah. All right. So here also, her definitive. Yeah, Alex. I shouldn't say her. I don't know. Could be dude. Either one. All right. Alex also says, also the World Cup being the most important event in U.S. history with winning the entire tournament felt like a bad take. While I'm watching the tournament excitedly and grateful, you mentioned the miracle on ice. I have your potential scenario of beating Spain, France, and Argentina, and third on my list. Here are the biggest U.S. miracles or U.S. wins. Miracle on ice, number one, if that actually happened. Followed by number two, Jesse Owens winning 4 medals in Berlin. I'm pretty sure I mentioned that. Our hypothetical World Cup champion with the boys, number three, 1992 Dream Team, 1999 World Cups, 2008 Michael Phelps, Secretariat in 73, that's pretty good, 98 home run chase, and the 2026 Olympic hockey gold medal. Thanks for your time and enjoy the show. And I appreciate the email. Mr. Feinbaum in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends, right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Bishop and Friends present college football's most polarizing figure.
Oh, Bob, man, listen to me.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Come on back to our show, Tim. The audience hates you.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum, sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
Indeed it is, and he joins on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Buddy, I understand you had lunch with Fish. Did he pick up the check?
Well, it's funny, Bo. We went across the street, and he said he was buying. I wasn't sure I believed that, and I had to go back. I had to go back because the deal I was doing was starting in about 3 minutes. So, I didn't get to eat, nor did I pick up the check. So that worked out pretty well.
I guess that's sort of a win for you. Speaking of wins for you, buddy, Lifetime Achievement Award from the folks at Barrett, which is really one of the great champions for our business, and I'm very appreciative of them and all the way that they cover our business. When you have someone who knows our business the way they do honor you the way that they did, how does that land for you?
Well, the most important thing I thought, and I mentioned this, Bo, was, and I followed two other very accomplished people, both of course, in New York radio. Mm-hmm. And when you're in Manhattan, you forget that there is another station in the world other than WFAN. So it's a legendary station, Mike and the Mad Dog, people mm-hmm. like that. But I thought it was great that Jason reminded all these New York suits that there are great stations in Columbus, Ohio, and Cleveland, and Birmingham, and Fort Worth, Texas. And I think sometimes the people that run radio from New York don't remember that.
Well, I would agree with that as well. Yeah. And I think one thing that I like to think I've hit on and you've hit on absolutely is that when you are doing this job, you are doing it in your community. Now, your community is turned into the entire South, but the things that you're talking about are things that matter to your community. And I think what we do is still one of the most critical, really, community outreach things that we do. For you, it just happens to be for an entire region. For me, it's for Central Ohio and a Buckeye Nation.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about this combination here is that I don't even think it's disputable. The two biggest college football markets in the country are Birmingham and Columbus.
Yeah.
And I think somebody got up yesterday and made mention of me, and he said, "Yeah, you've even allowed a kid from Brooklyn to understand what college football is about." I really didn't take that as a compliment, Bo, because I know what they're saying is, "Hey, we didn't even know it existed until we got forced down our throat one day." But I think I'll take the folks in the hinterlands over the New York media scene any day, and I think it's really why college football is so unique, because this is where it starts. It doesn't start at Madison Square Garden or the Lakers or something like that.
No, and there's also an unapologetic, we know it's great, and eventually they all came along, and now it's the second biggest sport in the country, and that's undisputable. Yeah. So that we've won in that exactly. sense, haven't we?
Yeah, and I think they still, you would not know it, though. I was sitting next to Kenny Albert, Marv Albertson, who does hockey, and mm-hmm. you just kind of, and these people who do NHL, and they think the Rangers are the most important thing in the world, I still think they resent college football, but I think that makes it even better, and I think that makes the challenges. And the topper of the day is one of the big shots there. I won't mention his name, but he's on the board, the head of the board at a Big Ten school, and he grabbed me on the way out, and he said, "Listen, you've got to help us. We got to get this bill through Senate. College football is dead otherwise." I'm like going, "Buddy, it can die as far as I'm concerned if that's what we have to do."
Well, let's stay there, because I wanted to ask you about this. I don't know if you saw these comments from the new Michigan president where he just said, "Yeah, I don't want that bill because we spent 100 years building up our equity and building up our brand, and we are not going to acquiesce and take less because we have earned everything that we've got." Now, there's an easy Michigan joke there if you want to take it, and yeah. I'll leave that up to you. But the reality is that he's right, that if you are Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, and the big guys, and you have all of the things, why would you ever want to share it?
You shouldn't. And Michigan and Ohio State and Alabama and Tennessee are not going to be shamed into doing this. And by the way, this isn't the end of the road. If this bill doesn't pass, then there'll be another one around the corner. There was another one introduced yesterday in the House by a Democrat, a college football fan, by the way. I've had lunch with him from Pennsylvania, a Notre Dame graduate. This is not the end, but this is the wrong bill, and I'm tired of people trying to convince me otherwise.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that as well. We had an interesting press conference here last Friday. Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjork, who you know well from his time in the SEC, had a press conference. He talked about a $500 million budget, and he talked about this massive athletic department that we have up here. And I talk about it all the time. Ohio State wants to be Stanford in 35 sports, and they want to be Alabama in the one that matters the most. Is this model that Ohio State, from your perspective, and I've looked at, I mean, Texas is probably the most similar to Ohio State down in the SEC. Texas has less than 20 sports. How long do you think, from your perspective, Ohio State can keep this up with this many sports in their athletic department?
Not very long. And it's noble and honorable, and I appreciate what he's doing, but it's not sustainable. And he knows that too. I mean, but it was a headline that definitely shook a lot of people up, though, because we forget how quickly this number is rising, and Ohio State reminded everybody in college sports where it is right now.
Yeah, and it's the I drink your milkshake thing, right? If you're a big money booster at fill in the blank place and you got to pay for new buildings and new facilities, but you also have to play for the football team, there is booster fatigue. Are you seeing that down there?
Everywhere. And it's hard to overcome because the money is so gargantuan. I mean, there was a time, if you go back 30, 40 years, the cheating that happened in college football, it wasn't about anything other than owning something. That's my guy. Mm-hmm. If you're in a small town in northern Ohio or in South Alabama, there's none of that anymore. I mean, if you give a lot of money, what's a lot of money? $100,000, $500,000. You don't even get the jockstrap on the quarterback's outfit. I mean, that's how bad it is right now, and I think that's going to discourage people because there was a lot of pride, and even though everyone was breaking the rule, it was still something to brag about at the tavern on Friday night. That, you know, did you see what my guy did?
Yes, 100%. And now that's changed dramatically. And by the way, for all of these people asking for help and we need Congress to save us and all of this, and I know you're paying attention to this, this summer recruiting has been absolutely a bonanza. And the numbers that are being bandied about for to get these guys to sign on the lines, which are dotted, you're seeing numbers. We're seeing numbers up here. People are talking about, who knows if it's real or not, but it's fun to guess that it would be $350,000 for four-star prospects and such. It just seems absolute nonsense, but when it comes back to it, the reality is these guys cannot police themselves. In terms of this summer recruiting spree that we see right now, what do you make of it, and who in the SEC is capitalizing best with it?
You have up-and-comers, but I don't pay much attention to them because that just means that they're desperate. But, yeah, it's the same old story. It's Texas. It's Georgia. It's A&M. And what's interesting about all this is that, yeah, someone asked me yesterday at this panel, Bo, is this sustainable? No, mm-hmm. But it's not going away. And the idea that the wild, wild west is about to overcome us, and what you just said, $300,000 for a four-star. I mean, during 17 years of Nick Saban and I dare say Urban Meyer and Ryan Day, nobody celebrated four-stars. Mm-hmm. That meant you lost on the five-star.
You nailed it. That means you did. And that's the price of doing business right now. Always good talking to you, buddy. Enjoy the 4th of July. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Bo.
All right, there he goes. Paul Feinbaum of ESPN joining us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We do a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
July 11th, we'll take you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Buckeye football history. It's Buckeye Weekly, Saturdays at 1 p.m.
Hear the games on the fan, OhioStateBuckeyes.com, and on the Learfield Varsity app. Go Bucks! The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
They've all been paid by the Cleveland Browns. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Thursday edition. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
So the rumor is that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce will be having their wedding at Madison Square Garden tomorrow night. Now, this is according to law enforcement officials who have been briefed on security plans. The festivities are going to kick off with a smaller rehearsal dinner that is planned for tonight. The person who spoke on this to the Associated Press did it all on the condition of anonymity because they're not supposed to be discussing this. New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani, I think that's his name, said Wednesday that a permit had been filed for a large event in Madison Square Garden. New York Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch said the police will, of course, have a detail in place, but also declined to go further into detail. Nothing has been publicly confirmed from the couple, despite multiple requests to their representatives. Thing or not a thing?
So many things here. So I thought it was funny. Kick off with a smaller rehearsal dinner. Yeah, anything smaller than Madison Square Garden. Anything. Also, like, just as someone who is married and has planned a wedding. Does this feel like something Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce would want to do? To get married in the world's most famous arena, like an old hockey basketball gym? It does not strike me as accurate at all. In fact, I would bet anything that this is a diversion from an actual wedding, someplace far more tasteful and elegant, potentially outside. I do not see a scenario of her walking down the aisle at Madison Square Garden. I think this is all a ruse.
Her walking down the stadium steps in the arena? Right. I thought the exact same thing, Bo. This feels like a wild place to get married. And also for them, as Taylor Swift is probably top five most famous people on planet Earth, and then she's going to have a wedding at one of the biggest landmarks in the United States. Like, you want to talk about staying low key? That is about the highest key possible. Go to Kansas City. Have something a little bit more tasteful out there than having it at Madison Square Garden. But I will say that this is perfect for the NFL. The continued off-season noise about Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, they will ride this out forever. They're probably hoping they get married at Madison Square Garden so that their media teams can have great pictures and videos.
So, Bo, I have never been to Madison Square Garden. I am planning on going in December when the Buckeyes play there. But the arena itself is on the fifth floor, I believe. There's a lot of different things there. Do they have like a big...
The train station is there, Bake.
Yeah, so like is there like a ballroom there or somewhere else that the wedding could be? It doesn't have to be on the basketball court.
But that's like a place where like you and I... Well, I didn't even get married. It'd be like... I mean, who the hell would want to get married at a ballroom in Madison Square Garden? Like, New York has incredible hotels. If you want to get married in New York, get married at the Plaza. Get married at the Four Seasons. Get married... I mean, I could go... There's 1,000 of them. Furthermore, like, she has an incredible estate out on Rhode Island that's right on the Atlantic Ocean. Go get married there. Go get married... I mean, there's places up in Cleveland, like Travis from Cleveland Heights. Go get married at Brattonall. It's right on the lake. It's beautiful. Go get married there. There's a billion places you could get married that would provide you with intimacy and special and all of that. And if you wanted to go really big, I don't even think Madison Square Garden is the really big. I don't think that would be the really big choice. So I just think this is all utter nonsense. I would be shocked, absolutely shocked, if they actually got married at Madison Square Garden. To me, it makes no sense.
Maybe they just want to sync it up with a big old New York 4th of July fireworks show.
Maybe.
Then they'll say I do, and then boom, fireworks go crazy.
You may need to have yours at Madison Square Garden if you ever get married, Bake. All the poor ladies' hearts you've broken.
You shut
fill it to the rafters.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me. A good friend of the program, Dane Brugler. Of course, we know him as the Athletic's main NFL draft analyst. He produces The Beast every year for the draft, and he has a contract with them through the 2028 draft. But a decade ago, he said he almost accepted a job in the front office of the Kansas City Chiefs.
So 2015... John Dorsey, who, you know, he gave me my first interview back with the Packers. He is now with the Chiefs, and he brought me in for an interview. Still had that, obviously had that relationship. And I felt really good about this one. I really wanted to work for the Chiefs and, you know, where they were at that point. Chris Ballard was part of the organization. They had just had a really healthy, organization. And so I was like, this is the fit. This is what I want. And go there, interview. I get the job. They selected me after, you know, presenting in front of, you know, the room, and I'm excited. And then they told me, hey, you need to be in Kansas City at the end of July. That's when you need to report. And my wife was due with our first, at the end of July. And we were in Texas at the time, and both of our families are in Northeast Ohio still. And I have to make this decision about, okay, my wife's about to have a baby in a month and a half, and I can't leave her by herself, obviously, in North Texas. But she didn't really want to go back to Ohio by herself, where she, you know, she didn't have her doctors and all that. And so I made the tough decision, and I told Dorsey and Ballard, and I still have, and I was heartbroken about it. This is what I had, you know, sacrifice for, was to get this opportunity. But I had to tell them no, because family comes first, and it just wasn't, the timing wasn't right.
Thing or not a thing?
Well, this is why when it comes time to have people on to talk about the draft, I want Dane on. We just had him on a couple of weeks ago. John Dorsey is as smart as any player personnel mind I've ever heard or known. He can just spot guys. And if John Dorsey is saying, I want you in our organization to help me spot guys, then you're pretty damn smart. That to me speaks a lot to Dane and his character and all of it, and why anytime when it comes time to pre-draft, post-draft, what do you think of Julian, all of that, the first guy I think of is Dane.
Incredible story, Till. Fantastic story. It only takes his credibility further, obviously. But then it makes me ask the question of, like, if you were in Dane's position, would you rather have the influence over the millions of people that read all the work that he does, or just one NFL franchise? And I think it's a toss-up, honestly, what he's doing right now versus being a part of, if he was the Chiefs, and being able to evaluate kind of in the shadows. I think it's just as fun to do it for all of the fans out here that read all of his work.
It's probably more fun to do it, to do what he's doing now. But if he had taken that job in 2015, he may have been the assistant general manager of the Cleveland Browns when Dorsey got that job in 2018. And furthermore, he would probably still be with him, probably somewhere with Detroit. Now, if you can elevate in that line of work, it's really great. It's a good life. But if you are a scout, it's a grind. It is a grind, that job. It is travel nonstop. And so it would just kind of depend. It would be a bet on yourself and a bet on the ceiling if you took the NFL offer.
Could you imagine, as good as Dane is at what he does, chipping in with the Chiefs, how much more dominant they would have been here recently?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's one of the smartest guys you're going to find. And it's funny, like, not only is he smart on everything, but his thoughts really align a lot, oftentimes, with how Dorsey sees things. And quite honestly, the way Andrew Berry does. He's been really positive of the Browns drafts the last couple of years because he sees talent the way that those guys see talent. So I think it's a big fit. And I mean, this is an Ohio kid. I think he went to Mount Union. Like, yeah. It's just a great story. All of it is.
Bo, it's 4th of July weekend, so we got to throw some baseball in here. It is America's pastime, after all. This from the Elias Sports Bureau. Sal Stewart, Cincinnati Reds rookie, had 59 RBIs and 11 stolen bases heading into July. The only other rookies who have had 50 RBIs and 10 or more steals heading into July are a couple of Hall of Famers. One of them is Carlos Beltran, who is going to be enshrined in Cooperstown later this month. The other, Tony Lazzari. Beltran did it in 99 for the Royals. Lazzari did it in 26 for the Yankees. Thing or not a thing?
Okay, this is a thing because there's only two guys who have done it. I love this about baseball, that you can compare somebody now to somebody in 1926. Also, I had no idea Carlos Beltran's a Hall of Famer.
He is, like, as of this summer.
Does that seem worthy? Is he a Hall of Fame player?
I think he probably is, based on his longevity. His numbers are well up there because of longevity. Now, if he had only played 10 years, probably not. But he played a long time, was on a couple World Series winning teams.
So, I guess so. Yeah, he's a 9-time All-Star. He won Rookie of the Year. He won the World Series in 2017. 3 Gold Gloves, 2 self. Yeah, I guess so.
Definite thing for me. And the question is, for the Reds now, are they finally starting to get some of that player development on their young guys going? Small market teams, if the Reds are going to be good, they have to develop. We've seen it with the Guardians. You have to be able to build through your drafts. And Sal Stewart's been pretty much a home run for them thus far through his first half. But the question is going to be, who's the cornerstone of the franchise going forward? Is it Sal Stewart or Ellie De La Cruz?
It's definitely not Ellie. You should try to get Sal locked up right now, but it ain't going to be Ellie.
Ellie's going to look great. I mean, that's a nice farm system you're running for my Dodgers.
Sheesh, Dodger blue. He's going to look so good.
He looks so good in that Dodger
red
blue.
Red 44 in that blue jersey.
Come on. Hitting right behind Shohei. Who gets hurt?
God,
what we
you.
Learned this week, coming up next, Doug LeMaurice at 11:30, Bishop and Friends, right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Ryan Baker. For just the second time in history, Team USA has won a knockout round game at the World Cup. They beat Bosnia and Herzegovina 2-0 last night to advance to the round of 16. Malik Tillman and Fulleran Bulagan scored the goals for the U.S. Bulagan, though, was given a red card in the 64th minute, so he's going to have to miss the next game against Belgium. That will be Monday night at 8 in Seattle. The Columbus Blue Jackets and defenseman Zach Werenski released statements yesterday confirming that Zach is comfortable returning to the team and that trade talks are on hold for now. The CBJ did make a couple of moves yesterday in free agency. They signed forward Ryan Lomberg and goaltender Phoenix Copley. Longtime captain Boone Jenner is moving on. He signed a four-year deal with the Washington Capitals. So is forward Mason Marchman. He's heading to San Jose.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, due to the holiday, we will be doing some best of programming tomorrow so everyone can enjoy the long holiday weekend. So in lieu of that, time for a little of what we learned this week on a Thursday. Hit it.
We're not trying to do too much around here, but over the course of 5 days, you might have gleaned some stuff. Bishop and Friends present What We've Learned This Week.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Make a reservation today at highbankco.com. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
I guess the number one thing is, I guess in his heart of his heart, Zach Werenski wants to be liked. I don't understand. There's no other way I can make sense of this week. I mean, I started this week on a Monday reacting to the news on a Friday that Zach Werenski had asked for a trade and the Blue Jackets were going to acquiesce. That was followed with Kirill Machenko probably wants out too. He's not going to extend here a long time. Now, here we sit on a Thursday, not even a week from when this story first dropped, and now we're going to kumbaya and everything's okay and it's a miscommunication and so forth and so on, and we're going to win in Columbus. I don't know what's going to happen in 56 minutes at this Don Waddell press conference. I know, Don, you ask him a question, you're going to get a direct answer. That much I do know. But this has been the strangest damn thing, the way that this has played out this week, and the only thing that I can think of, based on the behavior of all involved, is that Zach Werenski asked for a trade, and the heat got to be too much, and he rescinded. And everybody is doing a stand down now. I have a hard time believing anybody's going to act like it didn't happen. Clearly did happen. They consummated a trade with Dallas. You don't do that on just the threat that he's going to leave next year. You don't do it on just the threat. If anything, you do the opposite. If there is any sort of threat of, I'm not sure I'm going to resign, then your answer as an organization ought to be, let me give you five reasons why you should resign. This is what we're doing to make this team better for this year. You've been here 10 years. We want to put a C on you. We want you to play your entire career here. We're going to win a cup here, and you're going to be a part of it. Here's what we're going to do. That's what this summer should have been about, if that was the real truth in all of this. I don't believe it was, and I think now we're in kind of this Band-Aid mode on all fronts.
So I said earlier, the two questions that I want to hear at the press conference are, did Zach demand a trade? And is he now committed to signing an extension 1 year from now when he's available to? Because in Zach's statement, he says that we want to be in Columbus and he wants to win in Columbus. He also says in his statement, which I think is interesting here, he says, ideally, this wouldn't have become such a public thing, but that is the world we live in now, and everything got blown out of proportion, in my opinion. So I think the next question at the press conference is, who let this get out? Who put this information out there? Was it from the team and team officials? Or was it from Zach and Zach's representation? Why did this news get out here? And maybe it was another team. Maybe it was someone Don Waddell was having trade talks with, and they let it out there to someone. I don't know, but Porty said on Morning Juice today, we played one clip from him. He also talked about that this wasn't a media creation. Like this,
play it. Whatever. Ahead, play it. We can play it if you have it.
All right, let's do that.
This is going to be passed.
Actually, you're going to have to do that since I've got the sounder going, Isaiah. If you can pull that one up. It's the one It's the one about Porty talking about this was something. If you can grab that.
Got it.
This is going to be passed off as much ado about nothing. Oh, the media blew this out of proportion. Look, he was traded to Dallas on Tuesday night until he said no, okay? This was not a media creation and just a bunch about nothing. I think a backyard fire got a little bigger than people expected. I believe he didn't, I think he didn't go to Dallas because he would rather be in Columbus. I believe that to be true. Until we hear any of this from Zach, we're not going to know it, but it's messy. I think they were wise to recognize that it wasn't too far gone to pull back, to talk about this. But if it's should be clear now that the pressure, if it already wasn't on, I think it was, but if the Blue Jackets don't have some results here and some push to get going, and it hasn't been a great offseason in that respect, then they could be losing them. And that's where we're at now. The real story, of course, is going to be if they're out of it and it's the trade deadline next year. Or, again, at this point next year, what's the answer? Is it just making the playoffs? Is it having a team that can go deep in the playoffs and win a Stanley Cup? Because those are two very, very, very different things.
So there was something here.
Yes,
as he mentioned, he was traded to Dallas. And he blocked the trade. So, Porty says it wasn't too far gone, that they couldn't pull everything back. I don't know how they play this season with this shadow over the team, this cloud over the team that's lurking, and no real answers on it. I just don't know how they do that. I don't know how the players in the locker room do that, and I understand this is business. They deal with this stuff. We talked about that 2019 run to Tampa and how they went all in, but that team had to have a come to Jesus meeting because Bob and Panarin were upset that they were still on the team. I just don't know how they play this year and have any expectations with this hanging over their heads.
And where was the miscommunication? Was it between?
I don't think there was any.
Yeah, was it between Zach and the Blue Jackets? Because I don't understand if they traded him to the Dallas Stars. If he wanted traded, then why would he not go? Like, does he really think the Blue Jackets are a better situation than Dallas? He'd rather be here? Because that's in my mind. If he wanted out, that would be the perfect time. Okay, cool. I'm out. Unless he just didn't want to go to Dallas.
And I don't know. You know, one thing I hypothesized when we were talking about that earlier in the week was it something where he saw the give back that Dallas was going to give back, and he thought, well, I want to play with that guy. Because when he has a full no trade, he has an ability to see the trade. So is that part of it? Who knows? But I agree with you, Bake. I don't see any scenario how this doesn't linger. I mean, the idea that you could just kumbaya this. Oh, it was just a big misunderstanding. No. He was traded Tuesday. This was not a misunderstanding. This was our intent. These are our feelings. The Blue Jackets trying to make the best of it. No one knows more about this than Porty. He was on with us on Monday, and he said that he thought this would be done by yesterday, that a deal would be done. And then guess what happened? Tuesday, a deal was done. On Monday, we said one of the teams you wanted to go to was Dallas. Watch out for Dallas, 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 Dallas. Then they do a deal with Dallas. And then, for some reason, it's not done. So only Zach and them know the real truth on all of that. And I'm not, again, I think I've been pretty consistent on this. I get where he's coming from. I get it. He's been here 10 years. They haven't made the playoffs in the last 6. I get it. I understand it. I don't think it's that hard. I think any one of you out there listening, even the most diehard of Blue Jacket fans, could understand why someone in the prime of their athletic career would want to compete at the highest level of the sport that they make their living in. I get it. I think most of you do, too, if you take the Union Blue and Red off. But at the same time, if you are going to go down this road, to me, you got to go all the way down the road. I don't think you can live in a world of half measures. And that, to me, is what this feels like.
And the other thing on this, and again, Bo, you say you think he asked for a trade.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did or not. We'll probably never get the true answer to that. But whether it's just he asked for a trade or in the long run he doesn't want to sign here, he's got to be prepared for the fact that he's going to be the villain in this story. Right, wrong, or indifferent. He's going to choose. If he ends up leaving, it'll be his choice to leave Columbus. And you're going to be the villain, and you have to be ready for that. There's no sugarcoating or PRing that. You're going to end up being the villain.
And that's probably not fair. But the reality is that organizations stay and players come and go. And so, as a fan, you root for your organization because they stay.
Yep. It's not, but Panarin still gets booed every time he touches the puck in Nationwide Arena.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the way that it's going to go. And I was in the building when Rick Nash got booed. I was there for that and saw it. And it happens. These things absolutely happen. I just don't believe for a second that the Blue Jackets would have orchestrated a deal for Zach Werenski if he did not say, trade me. I don't think you do that if he just says, I'm not sure I'm going to resign. I think you only do that if he says, trade me. And he says, I'm not going to be happy here unless you trade me. That's, I think, the only reason you orchestrate that trade. Everything else would have been, what do we have to do this summer to convince you to stay? It would have been other acquisitions to improve their standing in all of it. That's how they would have. So that's been a story that's been all over the week. Obviously, the U.S. men's soccer team has been all over the week as well, in a thrilling win last night. We'll have some little fun with college football coming up next. Doug LaMaurice in 17 minutes. Bishop and Friends here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Generate Gamblers Deep Biddle at Scotty Vegas every Sunday morning at 9 for On the Money.
Presented by Krieger Ford, your best bet for a new car or truck. Visit Krieger Ford on Morse Road today or go online at KriegerFord.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Warm and muggy to start, and sunny and hot this afternoon with highs in the upper 90s and feels like well into the triple digits. For tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows in the 70s, and then for Friday, we close out the work week with sunny skies and very, very hot temperatures in the 90s with feels like climbing into the triple digits, so keep those ways to stay cool. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
I don't know if it's just because you put it in thing or not a thing, but I am being inundated with Taylor Swift wedding videos and such. Like, obviously, these phones listen to everything that we do. I'm getting a TMZ report. Taylor Swift wedding video shows over-the-top plan to keep public from seeing inside. This just doesn't track to me at all. Isn't she, like, I don't know her very well, but doesn't this stream, and she just streams like Princess. Like, just screams like she'd want to get married at, like, that castle in Germany or something like that, or Dubrovnik. Some place in Rome. Like, it just doesn't seem to fit to me that you'd want to get married at Madison Square Garden.
It's an interesting choice.
I just don't buy it. I think it's all utter nonsense. I did see another funny tweet about the amount that has been given up for Jaylen Brown, or I'm sorry, for Paul George. It's like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jaylen Brown, Victor Oladipo, Domantas Sabonis. There's one more, and then like seven first-round picks for Paul George through the years. Like, the Oklahoma City dynasty is built on a trade of Paul George.
All because of Paul George.
Yeah. Like, we still haven't heard anything from Boston, have we? Like, how do they defend this?
It's like worse than making the trade for James Harden. Every team that makes a trade for James Harden, you end up paying. Paul George ruins your future if you trade for him. Every single one of these trades has ended that way. And for the Celtics, I am just befuddled at this trade. It makes absolutely no sense. You go from being, if they hadn't done anything and they just ran it back this year, I would say they're going to be in the mix for title contention. You trade away your second best player to one of your immediate rivals. And I would tell you right now, I think the 76ers have a stronger title case right now than the Celtics do.
For sure they do.
Well, the 76ers right now have, was it two of the top five in scoring last year in the NBA? And Jaylen Brown and Tyrese Maxey?
Yeah, they traded a first-team All-NBA guy for a 36-year-old and two first-round picks. And by the way, to your point earlier, Isaiah, they aren't even going to be good first-round picks because they're going to be pretty good. They're going to be a playoff team at least every time out. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty wild. One thing that is pretty cool in the lead-up to this, if you're on the X platform, there is a great account. I think it's 1776, and it's basically taking you in real time everything that was happening around this time 250 years ago. So that's kind of a fun one to watch. If you're looking for content on America 250 and everything around that, HBO did an incredible documentary, or not documentary, incredible series years ago called John Adams that speaks to and shows John Adams' perspective on all of this. So a lot of good stuff there. And I'm pretty sure Ken Burns did a doc on this too. He's done a doc on about everything else. I'm sure he crushed the one he did on this one. I've seen the Civil War one. I have not seen the one on the Revolutionary War that he did. But there's some good stuff to look for there from a content standpoint if you're interested over the long holiday weekend. Speaking of content, Bake, you showed this to me. This is from the Sirius XM College Sports Radio Show. This is Fozzie Whitaker and Danny Cannell. They do the show. They draft all sorts of topics. And one of the ones they did this week are the best quarterback running back tandems in college football for 2026. Both of their first picks, I get, like, it's argumentative, but I could get. Fozzie goes with Trinidad Chambliss and Kymen Lacey at Ole Miss. For Cannell, it is the Miami duo of Mensah and Fletcher. Ohio State is fourth on Danny's with Saiyan and Bo Jackson. Ohio State is not on Fozzie's at all?
No, so they're doing a draft, so they go back and forth. So one of them gets a first pick.
I see.
So the Buckeyes were the fourth pick.
Fourth overall pick. So it's not your top 12. It's a draft.
Correct.
So he took Chambliss Lacey 1, then Mensah Fletcher 2, and then he's a homer because he played at Texas, right? I'm pretty sure Fozzie played at Texas. So he takes Manning and Smothers at number 3, and then Saiyan and Jackson go 4 to Danny. Mizzou's duo. Simmons was at Ole Miss, right?
Correct.
Isn't that Austin Simmons?
He was the one that like enrolled in college at like 16.
He was the one who was supposed to be the guy this year, and he got hurt, and then Chambliss took the job and then never gave it back. And then Mestemaker, so he's the kid from North Texas, and the running back Hawkins at Oklahoma State. Number 7, Notre Dame's probably too low on this list with C.J. Carr and Williams. Obviously, they're replacing two first-round picks at running back, but my guess is they know what they're doing there. Georgia is 8. Louisville at 9 with our guy Link.
How about that?
How about it? I would be rooting for him, man, in a big, big way.
There's an obvious too low on this list, right? And you're not there yet.
I think we're about ready to get there. BYU with Bo Bachmeyer and Martin at 10, and then Oregon at 11 with Dante Moore and Davison, and then Georgia Tech at 12 with Mendoza. That's Fernando's brother who's at Georgia Tech. Now, yeah, Oregon is slightly too low.
A lot too low.
Yeah. Way too low.
Because, I mean, if you remember, Jordan Davidson was a guy that was committed here.
I didn't remember that. So he was here?
He was committed here. Or it was down to Ohio State and Oregon. I thought he committed here, but then he signed with Oregon. But he's a really good running back. And Dante Moore is a really good quarterback. You could argue maybe the best in college football this year. Yeah. So that's pretty crazy that they're 11th in this thing.
Yes.
Below Keenholz and Brown?
Yeah, we haven't seen Lincoln ever play. How do we think Lincoln will do there? I know we're rooting for him.
I'm rooting for him. I don't know if Lincoln's ever going to get drafted. He might be good at Louisville, but I don't think it's going to... I definitely don't think they're the 9th best combo in the country.
No, I don't either. I think the first... You put Oregon... Just swap Oregon and Texas, or just have Texas, maybe have Texas 5. Oregon probably should have been 3 or 4 on this list.
Bo, real quick, just to put some perspective to this, Brad Crawford actually put this tweet out. This was at the beginning of May, and he had the best, so he was ranking college football's best quarterback running back duos compared to the numbers last year. So he had Trinidad Chambliss and Kawan Lacey number 1. They combined for 6,031 yards and 54 touchdowns. He had Darian Mensah and Mark Fletcher number 2, 5,305 yards and 49 touchdowns.
Okay.
He had Arch Manning and Relique Brown, who this doesn't have Brown in there. They have Smothers in there, but 4,703 and 40 touchdowns. And then they had Julian Sain and Bo Jackson, number four, with 4,902 yards combined and 38 touchdowns last year.
I wouldn't trade our guys for any. I really wouldn't. Like, I like Julian more than Trinidad Chambliss. I like him more than Darian Mensah. Lacey's probably a little better than Bo right now, but I think we're as good as it gets. I think Ohio State would be in the conversation to be as good as any of this, as anybody on this list. I think what's interesting about here is who are the teams on this list who might sneakily be good? Like, is Oklahoma State going to sneaky be good? Like, there's a lot of juice around that Mastermaker kid. A lot. A lot from, I don't think, people who have seen him play. But still, parrot that he's got this massive arm. Like, how many people are watching North Texas? Unless you're Dane Brugler and you're scouting everybody. You really watching North Texas play last year? But I'm curious to see what they can do. And then, and obviously Louisville with Link. I mean, they're going to be one of the 20 most interesting because I'm really curious to see, you know, what he's kind of got in store for them down there.
In what feels like a wide open ACC. Obviously, Miami's coming back, and they seem like they're kind of in the front of it.
Sure.
With Mensah, and obviously Fletcher's fantastic too. But other than that, in the ACC, it's just question marks all the way down, and a really tight finish probably. And the other thing of this that I think is interesting is I wonder what the backfield situation is going to look like this fall. With Bo Jackson, Isaiah West kind of came on strong towards the back end of the season. Mm-hmm. Is he going to push for that? Is it going to be just Bo as a bell cow, more of a split backfield with Isaiah West and utilizing Bo? And so I'll be interested to see how we kind of weld that into the season.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think Bo's being compensated like a bell cow.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a 1,500-yard season is my guess on how that goes for him.
Bo, you talked about Oklahoma State, and I understand new coach. They bring in a lot of players from North Texas who was good last year. Oklahoma State was still 0-9 in the Big 12 last year and 1-11. I don't know how much improvement is going to happen this year for them. And these are guys that are playing a tougher schedule than they ever have before.
Yeah, and I know you bring North Texas guys, but I think everybody's trying to do the Indiana thing, and we'll see if they can do it. I mean, they tried doing that with our guy Golish down at Auburn. They're trying to do that too. So, and it's happening in Florida with the Tulane guys. It's interesting to see if it actually translate to wins next year. Doug LaMaurice in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends, right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB. Nobody likes waiting around.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, normally we enjoy our conversations with Doug on a Friday, but we are best of tomorrow in lieu of the holiday, and so we get a little Thursday treat with Mr. LaMaurice. He joins on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. He's the host of the Bill and Doug Show on YouTube, the Substack, Bill and Doug, osu.substack.com. I'm going to start with a hard-hitting one first, and then we can have some fun. Do you really believe Taylor Swift is going to get married at Madison Square Garden?
She's in the business of putting on shows, man. Right? Like, who knows better people of, like, I got a big production. Who can do it, right? If she's doing it for the world on a random Thursday in Kansas City, you know, to put on a show, why not put on a big wedding? Let her, like, let's do it, right? Why not? She's America's princess. It's like Princess Di. Let's put on a show.
But Princess Di was married at Westminster Abbey. This is a basketball arena.
Is not MSG the Westminster Abbey of American pop culture?
No.
The Knicks it's the home of the Knicks. It's a home of champions. It's a home of history. What's our Westminster Abbey? Where's she supposed to get married? The Mall of America? Like, what's better?
The Biltmore?
What is our Westminster Abbey? I don't know. We don't have
Nashville?
One.
I don't know. There's got to be some place. Go to San Simeon Hearst Mansion. I don't know. There's got to be something that's got a little prettier vista than that. I think it's subterfuge, buddy. I think it's all misdirection. Ooh. That's what I think. I think there's another wedding that actually is happening, but it's not there.
You just think she should get married in Montana. You're kind of mad that she's not
a great place.
Out there on a mountaintop. Yeah.
I mean, think of those views, those vistas. You've seen Yellowstone. Yeah. It's gorgeous.
It is. It's lovely. I don't know what to tell you, man. Unfortunately, maybe you need to realize MSG is our culture. Like, that's as good as it gets, man.
Yeah. All right. Ross Bjork had an interesting press conference last week where he talked about a $500 billion athletic budget. He talked about 12 million Buckeye fans. If you get 1%, if you can get 10%, he's talking about 120,000. This is the Netflix model that I've referred to so many times on the show. If you were Ross Bjork, what would your priority be?
What would my priority be?
That's a complicated job. Right now, more than ever, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Bill and I did a show when he got hired of, Ross Bjork is here to make sure football is king, you know, and that to continue to, and in the new era, provide Ohio State football with everything it needs to compete at the highest level. So, I mean, is there any other priority? So that's pushing potentially for the rev share cap to expand. Right. Why is our rev share cap the average of revenue for the autonomous conferences? Why is it not just you can spend 22% of what your revenue is or some version of that? Right. To push for that, to expand that, and to make sure that they're set up in NIL, that they don't have an oil man, they don't have a shoe magnet, but that Ohio State can compete to build the rosters that it needs. And then, you know, like the idea that he's like, we got to go on the Woody. You know, like we're out of the arms race and facilities, but that doesn't mean you don't want people to have good offices, right? So, is there another priority? Like, what else could be the priority?
Well, it seems to me like he's following a little bit in a tradition of Buckeye leadership where they want to have their cake and eat it too. Where they want all of the things that you just laid out in football, but they also want it in the other 35 sports as well, some version of that. And I think that's really unrealistic in this day and age. You mentioned the Woody. I mean, he even talked about still doing an ice arena. I would just say, why? Why are we still trying to do an ice arena? Like, why are we putting money into sports that don't make money? Why are we continuing to...
talk about a golf clubhouse.
Yeah. I don't understand why you would... That seems like bad business to me, Doug.
Yeah, I guess the question is, what do people want to hear? Like, if he got up and said $500 million and we are here to be the best resource football program in the country and that's the goal, would there be people angry in the streets about the other 35 sports? Like, I don't know if you have to...
I don't think so.
Appease the... appease the masses to act like... It's not only football, but yet it actually is only football. It is interesting, like that it was very Woody-centric in terms of facilities, but that he did mention the other things. If stuff's fallen down, right, you have to have functional facilities. But, I don't mean to be crass about it, but it's like football's king in the world, you know, in America and in Ohio and in this university. So... I still think he's football first, but I do agree with you. There's still, right, the continuing, we want to be Bama and Stanford. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not an overnight conversion to all Bama, no Stanford. But I still think Ross Bjork is coming from where he's coming from, is more Bama than Stanford, and maybe it'll be a slow progression towards it's all about football.
Yeah, and the other thing that's looming, and as much as the Woody is looming, I understand that's what the majority of this was about, they have to do something with Ohio Stadium. And I'm not talking about the minimum requirement of bathrooms and all of the things that are just like no-brainers you have to do. They have to turn Ohio Stadium into a revenue producer. I think you and I talked about this when I was down in Tallahassee. Doug, I was floored when I got a tour from the athletic director there on their football facilities. And yes, their state-of-the-art brand new football facility is something the Woody absolutely should be. It is not. But then beyond that, like their luxury suites, Doug, were like a Four Seasons was the setup. And that is not the setup at Ohio Stadium. And what they were charging for those, they could probably charge 20x here for. because there's so much more money up here. And so who's going to pay for all of that? And that has to be on his agenda as well.
It's on their mind. Absolutely on their mind. Bill and I remain fascinated by it. It's a decision that everybody with an old stadium has to confront. Like they are thinking 100 years out, right? They're thinking 75 years out, and they are going to do it. And so that is, it's a conversation about, and you know, like we still got to serve the average fan, right? But
yes,
but the money that you make on luxury boxes fuels a lot of stuff. And so they're going to, I mean, he mentioned that they're going to have a plan, I think, by like the fall of like, this is what we're doing. And then what is that? Is that a renovation to the extent that, and like, I, you know, he talked about like, they've got to get out of the Woody to renovate it. They're going to have to do some temporary stuff. And that was, you know, echoing in my head of, is that a signal of they might have to get out of Ohio Stadium for a year to do what they want to do? That's not them saying that, but I wonder about it. You know, like how much do you keep the existing structure, but yet, you know, make it cool, make it, you know, modern. Like there is a balance they have to strike. How bold do they want to be? I'm certainly not advocating for tearing down Ohio Stadium and building new, but like how bold do they want to be? And I think like, I think they're going to tell us. I think that is very front of mind. And they know it's a major decision and there's great opportunity. It's like opportunity, but also like you got to do it. So like he's saying, we got to go. It's time to go on the Woody. That was his phrase.
Yeah.
It's the Woody's the appetizer and the big entree is coming down the pike and it's what's next for Ohio Stadium.
Yeah. And I think it's a much more complicated one because you can't, there isn't $2 billion in state funding to pay for it. And there's not,
right.
Because if you're doing to do a new one, it's $2 billion plus to be able to do that. And I mean, all you got to do is look north up in Cleveland. I mean, the Haslams themselves are paying $2 billion of their money for it. It's $600 million from the state and lost unclaimed funds or whatever. And you can have your issues with that if you'd like, but it's $2 billion out of their pocket that's doing it. There's nobody down here who's writing a check for $2 billion for a new shoe. So you're going to have to do that. Yep. So to me, they're going to have to remodel in phases. That's what's going to have to happen.
And then like how, like the devil's in the details, right? Mm-hmm. Is it short-term pain for long-term gain? You know, we've talked about that on our show and, you know, our listeners reminded us of the times when the spring game has been moved at various times because they're working on the Woody in the spring. But like, can you get like Penn State's doing it, right? Penn State's doing a $700 million renovation of Beaver Stadium. They're not missing any fall game. They've been working their butts off in the spring, right? Mm-hmm. So can you do that? Kansas, you know, did it and left the stadium for a year. So like, I don't know, but like I was saying, you know, it's a big project that again, everybody, cause a bunch of people built stadiums in the 20s and 30s and 40s and the bills come and do. You have to like, you gotta be bold and creative. Right. And I don't think it can be piecemeal. And that really means potentially some pain. But I said, what university is better situated to be out of their stadium for a year? If you played 2 in Cincinnati and 2 in Cleveland, I was saying sell a home game, play UCLA in Arizona and,
sure.
You know, where they play the Fiesta Bowl, call that an Ohio State home game, make it a party, get Southwest to have cheap flights to Arizona. Like you can be creative and do cool stuff. And, you know, of course people are going to be mad, but it's like, we're out of the Woody for a year. We're going to make it an Ohio State traveling band. It's going to be awesome. We're going to play great home games with our people, just not in Columbus. And then when you come back, it's going to be unlike anything you've ever seen. And I think like you just got to be bold, man. And you have a chance to be a leader here, right? Because whatever Kansas does, whatever Penn State does, whatever Northwestern does, Ohio State can set the standard of what a modern, gigantic college football facility looks like. And I think they should.
And I do think Ross is the right guy for that job. It feels like it this far into it. It feels like he's willing to take on that challenge.
I almost think like he wants to.
I do too.
Like not in a bad way, but it's like, let me put my stamp on this, you know? So, and maybe it's not the house that Bjork built, but it's the house that Bjork remodeled. Chick built it. Europe remodeled it. Let's go.
Right? I like
That's not a bad legacy.
No, no. In fact, it would be a defining one, to say the least. Always a good time, brother. Thanks for your time.
Exciting news for everybody. We have a new URL, billanddougshow.com. So you can almost remember the Substack stuff.
Billanddougshow.com. All right. That's where you want the smart dialogue. That's where you get it. Bill and Doug Show on YouTube and right there for Mr. Le Maurice. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, brother. Happy 4th.
You too, buddy. All right. Three things on a Thursday up next. Bishop and Friends are here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, before we get to the poll, other bit of good news yesterday in regard to Zach being back from now. By the way, Don Waldell presser coming in 12 minutes from now. Be a very interesting one, to say the least. The number one ranked overall prospect, according to Rivals, and the number four overall prospect in the 24/7 sports composite for 2028 is Jet Harrison. He is a 6'1", 170-pound receiver who just happens to be Marv's little brother. And so he has committed to Ohio State for the 2028 class. It now means that Ohio State will have a five-star receiver in now six straight classes by the time it actually gets there. Carnell Tate, Jeremiah Smith, and Mylon Graham in 2024, although Mylon is now at Notre Dame. Quincy Porter, who is also now at Notre Dame in 2025. Chris Henry in 26. Jameer Brown in 27. Now Jet Harrison in 2028. I already heard some people saying, I bet he ends up at Oregon. Obviously, we're a long ways out, which is why I don't spend a whole lot of time on commits 2 years out, but still a cool one. And my hunch is he'll remain in scarlet and gray.
Keep it in the family.
That's right.
Get him here wearing the scarlet and gray, just like his older brother.
Yep, worked out for him, didn't it?
It did. It did quite well. What do we have in the poll today?
The Daily Fan Poll, sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, is bringing back Zach Werenski the right move for the Columbus Blue Jackets? Overwhelmingly, 84% say yes, just 16% say no.
Man, this is going to be it's in 11 minutes. Don, don't lie. You ask him a direct question, you're going to get a direct answer. So curious to see where this all shakes out. Time for three things on a Thursday. Hit it, fellas.
One, two. Three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me. So my neighbor this morning had a crew out here, several trucks and so forth, and the objective is to cut down trees. So she had some that had fallen, and then there were some that were dead, and they'd been working for most of the morning, and I've had to do this type of thing before, I physically have had to do it, not in a crew, but back on the Ponderosa. But here I've had to pay for it to be done, and it is a silly fee that you have to pay for these things. I think this might be the best business in Ohio. If I could own any business, this might be it. There aren't that many people that do it. The people who do it can kind of charge whatever they want because there aren't that many people who do it. If you're an arborist on top of it, you can go around and say, well, this tree's not working, this one's not working. And it feels like we're always going to be in a world where trees fall down in storms. It's like recession-proof, man. It feels like a recession-proof business in the state of Ohio. These guys are just cashing checks over here.
And you mentioned the arborist. Who's going to question him?
Nobody.
Do you know anything about trees?
No.
I don't know anything about trees.
Whatever he said, he's an arborist.
First thing for me, I'm sure you saw it, the two people that climbed to the very tippy top of the antenna on top of the Empire State Building. I'm sure they enjoyed their night in jail for doing so. They were they had a big sign, flag, banner, whatever you want to say. When the power of love beats the love of power, the world will have peace. Then they climbed down off the antenna to like a platform and the guy proposed to the girl, and all I could think of is, what if she said no?
Oh.
You guys do all that work, climb up, you're going to jail together, and she says no? Then you got to spend the night in the clink together?
And she, just how awkward. I have a, my hunch is you don't do all of that unless you know you're getting a yes. But oh my God, they can always change their mind, Bake.
Bo, I'm thinking every guy that ever proposes does it, thinking for sure he's getting a yes.
You got to hope so.
Do you know anybody who said no to? Who's anybody who proposed and they said, no, I got to think about it?
I don't know anyone, but that is worst nightmare scenario.
I always think of that when people propose at games and they're on the big board. Like, what if she says no?
Make sure.
Safer to do it in private. 100%. First thing for me, life continues to humble you every year as you get older. For me, the most recent humbling I've gotten is the past 3 weeks in my sand volleyball league with my fiance. We've slowly learned. We've got three guys on the team that are my good buddies, and then my fiance and her friend. We've slowly figured out, now that we're in the third week, that the less the men touch the ball, the better. We're there simply to spike. The girls dig it out, set it. It's perfect every time. Anytime we get a hand on it, things start going astray. And so my fiance, I will tell you, 10 times out of 10, way better volleyball player than I. But, you know, it still hurts my pride a little bit.
So they played?
Yeah. They both played. Yeah. Both the girls played at Otterbein.
Oh, very good. Yeah, very good. This will be my second because it reminded me of something I did in college. So we used to have a co-ed basketball league that was run through the rec department at school. And as a freshman, I dated a girl on the basketball team. And while that relationship didn't work out, my relationship with the basketball team did. And it got to the point where I would go to the coach and I would say, who's going to redshirt? And every year I would get the two redshirts to play on my rec co-ed basketball
team. Yes.
And all we did is feed them and feed them and feed them, and they would drop 40 because their shots were worth more, and it was all layups to them because they could outshoot any of us anyway, and we anything outside the key was like worth three for them. I mean, it was insane. Hung a lot of banners that
good
way.
Plan out of you.
Yep.
Second thing for me, we talked about Boone Jenner leaving the Blue Jackets, heading to the Washington Capitals. Mason Marchment is also moving on. He's heading to Seattle. I saw yesterday that the Blue Jackets put out not only an appreciation post for Boone, but also Mason Marchment for the 39 games he played here.
Silly.
Now, okay, that's fine on Twitter, an appreciation post. When the San Jose Sharks come to Nationwide this year, if we have a tribute video to Mason Marchment, like, what are we doing? 39 games. Come on.
Come on.
Second thing for me, coming up next, we got Rothman and Ice. They're going to take you straight to the Dom Waddell presser. Hopefully, get some of our questions answered here coming up during their show.
Yeah, and we want to make sure that they hit that and we're up against it a little bit. So the collective third will be from all of us. We are off tomorrow, so it'll be a best of show tomorrow. Still a lot of good stuff in that best of show. The guys worked very hard to put it together. Then we'll be back Monday. Enjoy your Independence Day. 250 years old, America. Good job out of you. Be safe and have a good weekend, everybody. Rothman Ice coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here. On
Atlas Beller has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.